That is, the bishops went to Constantinople. They were tied to the Patriarch of Constantinople, who is the Orthodox Church's equivalent of a pope. Also, the aristocracy of Asia Minor took imperial service. They were related to the great families that also produced the bishops. And there was this tie between the capital and the hinterland with the greater part of the peninsula. Basil does change that relationship. To be sure, he has reason to do so. The great families emerge as extremely powerful in the wars against the Arabs. The great families had moved out of the cities back onto the countryside, went into stock raising, went back to a earlier pattern of land use because that was more suited to the changed conditions, to the warfare. You couldn't engage in agriculture and city life, so you go back to an earlier, simpler pattern. But those nobles posed a potential challenge. They could mount opposition to the capital. Basil created a professional army. He used legislation, especially legislating on behalf of the lower classes against the nobility, and broke the power of that aristocracy, or at least for during his reign, during his generation. That was fine so long as you had an emperor such as Basil, an emperor who had charisma, military reputation, great power. When he died, however, in 1025, he did not leave a strong successor. He left an elderly, weak brother who had two foolish daughters, Theodora and Zoe. The older one, Zoe, was married to a succession of three weak emperors. And what happened is the central administration in Constantinople usurped the position of Basil and exploited that relationship with the provinces, exacting taxes, driving populations into revolt, alienating the countryside, alienating the military elite. And finally, that elite took power, took the situation into their own hands, but when they did, it was too late. Imperial power had suffered not only internally because the government in Constantinople provided no effective leadership, it was the plaything of corrupt bureaucrats and of a weak dynasty, but also new opponents had appeared. Normans in Italy who challenged the Byzantines in the West, and particularly Turks from Central Asia, of mounted warriors who swept into the Islamic world using brilliant cavalry tactics. And these Turks, the Seljuk Turks, on a distant battlefield in Armenia, won a dramatic victory over the imperial army at Manzikert in 1071. That battle proved catastrophic. It revealed that in the 50 years since Basil's death, that the central government had lost control and loyalty over its position, its possessions in Asia Minor. It revealed the weakness of the imperial army, the bankruptcy of the imperial government. And rather than meeting the Turks as an opponent, the feckless Byzantine emperors in 1071, after the defeat, fought a series of silly civil wars. Those civil wars eventually put an able man on the throne in 1081, a man named Alexis I. But in the process of fighting those civil wars, those emperors invited the Turks, the very victors of Manzikert, to come in as mercenaries and allies against their Byzantine opponent. And so the Turks, by invitation, took over many of the cities of Asia Minor. And in 1081, when Alexis I came to the throne, he faced a desperate situation. Constantinople had lost her hinterland. He knew he needed to get it back. If the imperial state was to achieve its great, to recreate its greatness, it needed to recover Asia Minor. But how does one do this without the resources of Asia Minor? And Alexis took the fateful step of summoning his co-religionists in the West, the Western Europeans. And these co-religionists came first as allies and then as crusaders who destroyed the traditional capital of Constantinople.